An agreed upon belief among other world religions points to two things. Most of them believe Jesus was born of a virgin and is a prophet of God. And most world religions actually acknowledge that Jesus was crucified. But their reaction to the resurrection? Well, they have no reaction to his resurrection because they just can't imagine that it's possible. They agree on many Christian truths regarding Jesus Christ, except one, that he was resurrected. Now, you can spend hours, months, days, or even years reading the scholarly reactions about the theological truth of Christ rising from the dead, and then likely find a totally different reaction to the claim that Jesus did not rise from the dead. In our gospel readings this morning, it is all about Easter reactions. John offers us glimpses of the varied reactions found in Peter, the beloved disciple who is often known as John, and Mary Magdalene. Now, John's story begins first with Mary. Mary comes to the tomb in the early morning hours while it is still dark. That's not unusual for Mary to return to the tomb the morning after Jesus' burial. Jewish custom involved marking the corpse so that it could be identified later after a period of mourning. It's possible that Mary was simply carrying out a common custom. But what's not common is what Mary finds as she arrives at the tomb. The stone that was placed in front of the entrance to the tomb, a huge and heavy object, has been removed from the tomb, has been rolled away. And we don't know if at that point she looked inside, but chances are just seeing that heavy stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb was enough for Mary to go and alert the Lord's disciples. John writes that Mary goes directly to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And from there, we read of their unique and personal reactions to the news that the stone has been rolled away. And then their reactions when they realize that Jesus' body is not present. We are reminded that the encounter with the resurrection can be experienced differently by different people at different times. The minute the beloved disciple hears Mary's news that the Lord has been taken out of the tomb and was missing, he starts running right to the tomb. As if he's so eager to reach the tomb, he outruns Peter and arrives first to observe the condition of the burial place. His actions are perfectly reasonable and an appropriate response. After all, the beloved disciple stayed with Jesus all the way to the bitter end. Why would he not want to see what had happened? Chances are he also has Jesus' mother to consider and how he might prepare her for the news that Jesus' body is missing. Actually, he's probably thinking about all the people he will need to prepare, because that is the kind of disciple he is to everyone. And perhaps the beloved disciple didn't need to enter the tomb immediately to believe that the resurrection had occurred just as his friend Jesus told him it would. He was Jesus's closest friend, and so he had developed an innate trust in Jesus that what Jesus said would happen. So there was nothing for this disciple to investigate or prove once he reached the entrance of the tomb. He just had this feeling that he needed to come and see what Jesus had completed by rising from the dead. John doesn't report any dramatic response from the disciple. It's as if he had no response because he always believed Jesus' promise to rise from the dead. He believed in the resurrection for a long time without requiring any proof. We know people like the beloved disciple, who believe in the Lord without question. You may relate well to the beloved disciple. You may live out your life with unwavering trust in Jesus Christ. And we need people like this. These are people who find hope in the most depressing situations. They are the ones who see service possibilities in broken down playgrounds and faded fellowship halls. People like the beloved disciple who show their faith so clearly are the ones we draw our strength from when our own faith journeys become difficult. We need their unwavering trust that God will work good, even out of a crucifixion. John goes on to tell us that Simon Peter was the other disciple engaging in a foot race with the beloved disciple. I wonder if he arrived second because maybe there was just a bit of hesitancy in his footsteps. Actually, it's interesting that Simon Peter even showed up after all he had spent the last few days running away from Jesus. Why is he running towards him now? Well, we can make some guesses. Perhaps it's a case of simple jealousy, maybe a desire to prove that he is as good as the faithful, beloved disciple. Or perhaps guilt motivates Simon Peter to run to the door so he can say he is sorry for denying Jesus after boasting about his loyalty, for not being present at the cross, or for running away when Jesus needed his devotion the very most. Maybe it's simply hopeful curiosity that brings Peter to the tomb. He was present at the raising of Lazarus. Could it be possible that the same thing has happened to Jesus? Peter arrives, but he seems not content to stand at the entrance of the tomb. Peter needs to be inside the tomb. He needs to see the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that has been wrapped around Jesus' head. It is as if he needs the physical proof of the resurrection. John tells us that Peter believed but did not understand the scripture that says Jesus must rise from the dead. There is still much that Peter doesn't understand. Perhaps he's even questioning the resurrection. Unlike the beloved disciple, Peter doesn't possess the innate trust in Jesus to believe everything Jesus said he would do. There is as if a lingering part of Peter that believes with just a bit of questioning. We know people who are like Peter and believe with questions, sometimes lots of questions. There may be many of you who relate to Peter's lived out faith. You too have the same desire to believe with a level of trust as the other disciples, but you come to the tomb needing more than to just see the stone rolled away from the entrance. Maybe like Peter, you have denied knowing Christ when confronted. Maybe you've run away when your faith has been challenging and difficult. But today, Easter Day, you run to the tomb to ask for forgiveness. And perhaps with just the tiniest bit of hope, you will see Jesus again. Believe it or not, we need people like you on our spiritual journeys. We need people who are asking questions about their faith and revealing their human emotions and choices about being a follower of Christ. We need people like Peter who can't prove the resurrection, but know it needs proclaimed. These are people who wrestle with their doubts but still seek the presence of Jesus Christ. And these are people who remind us that our own faith in Christ is an active relationship as we share our doubts and our fears and emotions with God, who can handle what we give God. The third reaction we read is of Mary Magdalene, who in John's account is the first to arrive to the tomb. Mary is deep in grief as she remains at the tomb after the two disciples head elsewhere. She is wrapped in her grief as she looks back into the empty tomb. And as she looks again inside the tomb, she sees two angels in white who ask why she is crying. And in tears, she reveals her greatest fear. They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Mary is not thinking about the promise of the resurrection. She is gripped with grief that leaves her frightened about the future. She expects nothing to happen, but has come to mourn the loss of life, of a body to touch, and to bid goodbye to her teacher and friend. Mary's grief clouds her ability to recognize Jesus. He has to speak her name for her to suddenly understand that who she thought was a gardener is actually her teacher, Jesus. And John tells us that Jesus immediately tells Mary what she must do. He commissions her to go and tell what she has seen. What comfort to read that Jesus wasted no time equipping Mary to be his disciple and share the good news of the resurrection. He didn't wait to correct her grieving or ensure her theology of the resurrection was accurate. He simply told her in more ways than one that there is nothing to fear. Easter has come. It is no longer an ending at the tomb, but a beginning, and Mary has the joy of being a part of the story. There are people all around us like Mary, lovely people who are looking for Jesus at an empty tomb, consumed by some sort of grief and unable to see Jesus calling to them. But the good news is that Jesus calls you and calls me by name. He calls us out of our grieving or any other feeling that distracts us from being in his presence. And he invites us into the story of resurrection. We need people like this in our lives. These are the people who don't shy away from sharing their emotions. These are the people who are not ashamed to say they need Jesus, that they are searching for Jesus. They are crying out for Jesus. Do you identify with any of these three reactions? Think about where you might be in this resurrection story. Are you like the beloved disciple at the entrance, trusting fully in the power of the resurrection in Jesus Christ? Or maybe a little bit more like Simon Peter, you're crouched down inside the tomb, seeking proof of God's mighty power. Or like Mary, maybe you are sitting outside the tomb, crying out to find Jesus. Dr. Bruce Epperly says that when we least expect it, resurrection happens to us, just as it unexpectedly happened to Mary and later to those who deemed it an idle tale. He goes on to write that resurrection must first disorient us so that we can be reoriented to what God is doing in the world. As we allow resurrection to break into our lives, we become part of the new thing that God is doing. We are transformed and our world moves from despair to hope. The most important thing today, I believe, is to have some sort of reaction to the truth that the tomb is empty. There is nothing less hopeless than to come to church this day with no reaction. We need to react to this news of the resurrection and not be worried that our reaction is wrong. The most important point is when we have a reaction, we have a story to share with those who do not know or understand Christ's resurrection from the dead. We remind ourselves today that we each have a different encounter with the news of Jesus' resurrection. Some of us may be in a place of strong faith, like the beloved disciple, trusting fully and deeply that Jesus has done what he says he will do. And some of us may react this day with trust that is mixed with some questions and maybe a little doubt, just like Peter. And we need more from Jesus. And the good news is that Jesus will give us all that we need. We can be confident that Jesus loves us with all of our questions, our doubts, and our denials. And some of us may arrive like Mary today, steeped in sadness or grief, perhaps a little road weary from our faith journey, wondering if Jesus truly rose for us. I will tell you right now, Jesus rose for you and for me. His resurrection is a reminder that we have nothing to fear. Christ has overcome death, and now begins the story of eternal life. And you know what? The story of eternal life is not just Jesus' story. It's our story, too. It's a story that we need to be sharing with those all around us, not just with words, but with feelings and actions and commitment. Because the story is too good, too unusual, especially from the standpoint of other world religions, for us to orient our lives around anything else. When Jesus asked Mary to go and tell others, he was sending her right back into a community of believers. He didn't indicate that the good news was simply for her to hear. It was important to Jesus that the story be told over and over again in a community in which we all can be welcomed and loved and understood, no matter what our reaction is to the news. There is much good news for all of us when we remember and share the story of Christ's resurrection. But even better news is this: no matter how you or I react to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are part of the story forever and ever. Alleluia and amen. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.